I was reading an article at one time, some months ago now. It was an article by an individual, I believe he was on an Australian website, and he was doing an analysis on the decline and fall, Gibbon's decline and fall, and the decline and fall of the Western world, and making the parallels between what was actually going on in the Western world. And he was talking there, and he was trying to analyze why is it that these empires actually do decline and fall, and then analyzing what Gibbon was actually saying, who wrote The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, and also looking at what in fact is happening today. And he came to the conclusion that what happens is that the societies become very, very complex, and more laws become enacted, and you eventually end up with a plethora of laws that really are almost impossible to apply. And the bureaucracy then becomes such that anyone who is going to go ahead and be in the legislature, in other words, in the ruling class, if you want for a better term, is going to have to administer this plethora of bureaucratic law. And in doing so, the main ingredient is that you keep your nose clean, that you are people who are able to push a pen effectively, to deal with other people politically, and to wheel and deal yourself politically in society. And what then happens is that you have people in rulership who are incompetent. They're incompetent in the areas of entrepreneurship and in areas of real leadership. And in fact, they are becoming bureaucrats and bureaucratic more than in true leadership. And this then has the effect on the society at large, that the society at large starts to fall. And the society at large goes down because the leaders simply aren't there. Now, certainly we find that, if you want to turn over to Isaiah, there we go. Yes, in chapter 3, there we go. It says in verse 1, it says, "Behold, the Lord, the Eternal of hosts, takes away from Jerusalem and Judah the stay and the staff and the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water, the mighty man, the man of war, the judge, the prophet, the prudent, and the ancient." And then he's replacing them, and it says, "The captain, the 50, and the cunning artifactor, the eloquent oracle, and I will give children to be their princes." In other words, he's taking away the people who are the leaders, the dynamic people within industry, the dynamic people within the government, and what you have then are people like children. They're administering things within society as children would administer things within society, and this is a real problem. Here we've got another article here. This is from today's paper. We've had the problem with the hunting with dogs, and that's been a big issue over here. They've actually managed to ban that now. It doesn't mean to say you can't hunt with dogs, but you mustn't actually allow the dog to kill, which is rather difficult. And now it says the animal rights groups targets the game shoots. It says the League Against Cruel Sports launched a campaign against shooting yesterday, attacking the intensive rearing of game birds and snaring, which makes commercial shoots possible. In a DVD to be sent to MPs to coincide with the start of the shooting season today, the League attacks what it claims the factory farming of about 30 million game birds a year and the use of snares to trap foxes. So again, without starting, not only can we not go ahead and chase a fox with a dog, you can't snare them either, you can't trap them, you're not going to be able to use anything along those lines. And eventually they'll want hands off completely, you cannot go ahead and do this. And you see the leadership, what is actually happening is driving the very leadership of the country, is focusing on these issues. Another one, hospital bans cooing over baby. Now this is from Tuesday, this is all last week. So this is Tuesday, this last week. It says, a hospital has banned visitors from cooing over newborn babies to protect their dignity and the parents' right to confidentiality. It says, people have been told that they should resist the temptation to touch or be too familiar with new arrivals. They're also being warned to respect patients' confidentiality by not talking to staff or parents about babies. Cards have been issued to visitors at Calderdale Royal Hospital, Halifax, West Yorkshire, bearing the words, respect my baby on the front, and on it goes. And it's talking about, cooing should be a thing of the past because these are little people with the same rights as you and me. So you're not allowed to coo at a baby. I think an article or a letter that was in the paper on the day after was that when, as far as these little people being the same rights as you and me, then it also these little people are pooing their nappies, so or their diapers, they're not quite the same as you or me. This, again, it illustrates a frame of mind. The leading of the hospital, the leading within the society at that particular stage, has a certain mindset. Another one here, it says, this is from The Sun, on Friday the 23rd of September. This was one that was sent to me. I hasten to add, all of those that know the British paper The Sun will understand why I say that, because on page 3 you have some rather buxom young lady with nothing much else. But it does say here, The Sun, Friday the 23rd of September, it says, a dad was arrested for defending his home against burglars and then had his flat raided while he was locked up. Ex-soldier Lee Wood returned from 21 hours in the cells to find the thugs had looted his flat, smashed his windows and torched his car. Lee, 28, was lying in bed when he heard two men breaking in. He went to the front door and was attacked as his girlfriend and 2-year-old daughter screamed in terror. He punched his attacker and a second came at him and he punched him too. And the other men then arrived and tried to force the door. The door was open a few inches and they're trying to stab him in the face as I tried to hold it shut. The police arrived much later in response to Lee's 999 call and nicked Lee, saying that he had assaulted one of the burglars who needed hospital treatment. And while Lee was in police cells, at 5 yobs returned, torched his car, broke it in while his girlfriend and daughter fled in terror, trashed the rooms and stole the items including the TV and microwave. And they say, why is this? Because children rule over them instead of the ancient and the honourable and so on. Because we've got a world which is really, it is coming apart at the seams. And we're looking at the essence of the decline and fall. This is what we're looking at. We're looking at people rising to a certain level within society, who are then becoming the leaders within society on all levels, and administering it like a bunch of children. According to their own particular ideas and ideologies. And this, in fact, is reflecting itself not only here in the articles I've just read, but even in the Labour Party conference. There was something that actually happened in this past week. And this is the paper from Thursday, this last Thursday. It says, Heckler, 82, who dared call Straw a liar, is held under the anti-terror law. Now, what this, in fact, is telling us is more than just a case that children are ruling over us. It's a case that you're looking at a move in a certain direction, and the use of, or the implementation of certain laws that are going to be used in a certain direction within the future. And here we have an individual who is 82 years old. It says, Labour had to apologise to an 82-year-old activist last night as he was roughly thrown out of the party conference for heckling Jack Straw in Iraq. The leadership faced angry protests from MPs and party members who accused it of stifling dissent and abandoning traditions of free speech. Now, I remember specifically a particular interview with Mr. Blair at another party conference where I was actually watching, I happened to be watching the television and watching this particular interview live. And this was an interview where Mr. Blair was in the centre, surrounded by like a little small amphitheatre of questioners. And they were asking all these questions, he was fielding them and everything else. And then one lady got up and said, why are you doing this, that and the other? And started probing him very deeply about something that obviously had not been prepared. And suddenly the transmission was cut and said, oh, it appeared to be having a technical problem. We'll go across to another area. And it was stifling any kind of serious debate. In other words, you cannot go ahead and have anything that looks like any serious debate. It says, Mr. Wolfgang, it says here, the Foreign Secretary was telling the conference that Britain was in Iraq for one reason only, to help the elected Iraqi government. And when Walter Wolfgang shouted, now that's a lie and you know it, Mr. Wolfgang, a refugee from Nazi Germany and a Labour Party member since 1948, was immediately surrounded by security staff in full view of the television cameras and ejected from the hall in Brighton as officials revoked his pass. When he tried to re-enter the secure zone, he was stopped by a police officer quoting the Terrorism Act. Now, this is, and it is that Terrorism Act, it's the use of the Terrorism Act that really is the problem. It goes on, then the rest of the article as well, and that's not just there, it's in other papers as well. But the use of that Terrorism Act is a serious problem, because what it means is that people are using an act which on the surface appears to be for a certain purpose, and in fact it can be used in all kinds of different ways because it is made in such a broad, it's such a broad law. And this again is something that we need to be aware of. We need to be aware that there is a time coming within here in Europe which is going to be a revival. And that revival is going to be taking place. Turn over to Daniel. Turn over to Daniel. Daniel chapter 7. In Daniel chapter 7, just notice what it talks about the Roman Empire here. It says, after this I saw, in verse 7, after this I saw in the night visions and beheld a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth, and it devoured and let him break in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse, it was different from all of the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. These are 10 revival verses. And it, you're looking here at Rome, and you're looking at this revival of the Roman Empire that will actually occur. And if we go over to Revelation 13, just remind ourselves about this particular verse in Revelation 13, which we read continually. But it's going to be a religious revival. And we find here in verse 11 where it says in Revelation 13:11, I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and it had two horns like a lamb, and it spoke as a dragon. Having just talked about the political system in the political beast in the beginning of the chapter, it then talks about the religious side of it. And it says, he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and he causes the earth and those that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So here you have this holy Roman Empire, this system that is going to be there, and deceives them that dwell on the earth. And he says, he does great wonders, so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles. So you're going looking at this religious leader who is going to, with the political leader as well, cause this revival. And it's a revival of this beast that is going to be one that actually stamps on people. And this is the thing, when you're looking at, when you're analysing the news, in many, many cases, you find almost seems foolishness, because in one hand you'll see laws that are not enacted, are not used. It's like this individual who the burglar breaks into his home, and he thumps one of them, and he then gets arrested. Why didn't the police stick up for them? Why is it that the police, therefore, will go, or the officials within the Labour Party conference will jump on somebody that voices dissent, saying, you know, rubbish, you know, this wasn't true? Why is that the case? Why is it with one and not with the other? Why do we not see it in an even-handed way? There's another example. Let me give you this other example. It talks about the average council tax bill now breaking the £1,000 barrier per year. Now, rates, when we first came down to Wales, our rates were £12 a year. That was back in 1975, 76. £12 a year in our cottage. I think my last rate bill was 800, 700 and something, 800. And I think over here is a good deal, over 1,000 here. Is it over 1,000? You're about the £1,000 mark here. And what's happened, in fact, they've done an analysis of the rise in inflation on the council tax. And again, you've got to pay for all these bureaucrats that are sitting in these governmental positions and administering these plethora of laws that are becoming more and more complex as you go on. And you're wasting more and more time trying to administer this stuff, until finally the whole thing will implode. And that's what we're witnessing at the moment. And here we have the council tax rebel goes home angry after a bill is paid. And this particular lady, she looked at her council tax bill, she looked at her pension, and she found that the pension had gone up by, say, 6%. And I think the council tax bill had gone up by about 48, 49%, something like that. And she said, this is ridiculous. You know, I'm not going to go ahead and pay the difference. So she refused to pay the difference, about £50 or something. And she, at age 80-something, 72 was it? 73, beg your pardon, Miss Hardy, 73. She was put in prison. And you think, well, why on earth is that the case? What is actually going on here? And if you analyse it, if you look at it very carefully, what you find is that when you've got something that is dealing with people, then it doesn't matter. But when you've got something that is against the system, then all the full force of the law comes into play. And when this really, if you notice here in Revelation 13, it says, it deceives them that dwell on the earth, verse 14, by the means of the miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. So you're looking at the impetus that comes, that actually brings about what we are going to see within Europe as the revival of the Holy Roman Empire is going to come from the religious quarter. It's going to come from the Catholic Church. And they're going to say that to solve a certain problem, you're going to have to go ahead and revive this, this beast, as it says here, this Roman Empire. And it says he had the power to give life to this image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So this dictatorial power that we see at the moment within legislation and within this uneven application of the law is going to be extended. Now, we've always, again, let's just turn back to Matthew 24. In Matthew 24... Because we've always imagined that the church was going to be attacked from the outside. That's the way Mr. Armstrong always imagined that this would be the case. That the church would be attacked from outside, that we would eventually have to flee to a place of safety. And that eventually will happen to as far as the church is concerned. It will be, because it's very clear that the army then, or the flood was poured out after the woman. And it was trying to stop the woman, as she fled into the wilderness. So that will happen. But what happened in the interim? When you look here, it says in verse, it's talking here about the fleeing. This entire section in Matthew 24, it is focused on the days of Daniel, the beginning of the days of Daniel. That's the focal point. And when you're looking here about that day and hour, verse 36, knows no man, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now, we know that 1,335 days from one particular point, that blessing, then Christ will be there. So we're looking at the focal point being on that start of the days of Daniel. But it talks about, one will be taken, the other left, and the days of Noah, and so on. Verse 42, watch therefore, for you don't know what hour your Lord comes. In other words, you've got to be aware, you've got to be careful of what's happening. But know this, that the good man of the house it had known in what watch the thief would have come. He would have watched and would not have allowed his house to be broken up. Now the church has been broken up. The house of God, the household of God, has been broken up. And it says, therefore you be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man comes. It could be very likely that we're going to witness something similar within the world. At the moment, we're looking at it, we're thinking, well, it's going to come from outside. No, it wouldn't necessarily all come from outside. It can arise from the middle of the very nations themselves. And we can be then handed across to the beast power. It can be an inside job in many cases. And we've got to be aware of that laws are being laid down today which have the potent of destroying people. Being dictatorial in their administration. You see a certain... No, we'll leave that one there. Let's have a look at this one here. See, what's happening within society, and unfortunately within the churches as well, is what this particular individual let's see if I can find this. This is Max Hastings, who is pretty critical of the government, to say the very least. But he says, it's Blair's good fortune to be Prime Minister in an age of mindless celebrity culture, when the British have abandoned serious debate on the fate of their nation, whether temporarily or permanently remains to be seen. Voters have opinions of a kind about the war, education, health, family life and crime on the streets, but there seems to have been a forsworn passion or serious thinking about big issues. They are content to sail through life untroubled unless some serious misfortune befalls them, such as the dishwasher breaking down or the video recorder failing to tape the football on TV. That is the way society is going. Has gone. Not is going, has gone already. And while this is going on, then you're seeing laws being enacted, things actually taking place that are, if you understand prophecy, you can see will have an enormous effect. And yet at the same time, everybody's fast asleep. There's one here, there's an article here, a big spread. It says, Blair promises 21st century justice system to fight 21st century crime. Now, you just wonder about that. He says, Tony Blair promised to modernise the Dickensian way the police and courts deal with criminals, drug dealers and binge drinking yesterday to be laid out in a packed policy agenda for Labour's third term. His 12th conference speech as Labour's leader and 9th in Prime Minister was deliberately stuffed full of commitments to demonstrate that he is determined to remain in Downing Street for at least 3 more years. And on he goes. In there, it says, there's another article, it says, ID cards will control the Big Brother state, says Clark. Identity cards will not create the Big Brother state, but will instead bring it under control, Charles Clark claimed yesterday. The Home Secretary urged delegates to support his ID card legislation on the grounds that it would make it easier for people to protect themselves against identity theft. You see, yeah, you can prove who you are. Why? Because the police know exactly who you are. Because you've got your iris scan, you have your fingerprints, you have all the other biometric data, including your face recognition profile as well, on the identity card. And with that, you can immediately tell who, in fact, somebody is. At the same time as this, well, let me just read a little bit more. It says, the courts are failing. This is criminal justice system is flawed, says Clark. The courts are failing to deliver justice quickly or effectively enough, Charles Clark said yesterday. The Home Secretary said further reforms were necessary to improve the performance of the criminal justice system. He made his comments as he defended the government against claims that it is undermining civil liberties in a debate organised by the Daily Telegraph on the question, is the government too authoritarian? Mr. Clark said that the criminal justice system was flawed. I don't think the legal system in this country is something to admire in every respect, he said. I don't think it gives rapid and effective justice to people in the way that it needs to. It needs to be reformed for a lot for that to happen. Now, that's true, but the reformation is not going to help people. It's going to help the system. That's the difference. That is what is prophesied. And if you again, notice what it says over here in Revelation 13, where it says, and he causes, it says, and he had the power to give life unto the image of the beast, verse 15, that it should both speak and cause as many as wouldn't worship the image of the beast to be killed. And he causes all, small, great, rich, poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or their forehead. And we're looking at Sabbath observant there, Sunday observance there. And that no man may buy or sell unless he had the mark, or the name, or the number of the name. So it's going to be an authoritarian administration of this. It's not just going to be a case of imposition of Sunday observance, but it's the way, in fact, in which that is going to be effected. And you can see, this is an article from the Times of September the 28th, it says, by a man called Magnus Linklater. It says, barge in first, ask questions later. We should all be worried about the police's gung-ho tactics. The midnight knock on the door from the secret police is the stuff of nightmares. These days, you'll be lucky if the door survived at all. Violence seems to be almost routine when police carry out an arrest. Windows are smashed in, warning screams, guns pointed. Organized mayhem has taken the place of the old-fashioned Bobby's warning. Whatever happened to open up, it's the police. Instead, we have B-movie thuggery, as unnecessary as it is counterproductive. You know, you just have to watch what's going on the television. When they have a police raid, that is the way it is. They go in there, the first thing that anybody knows is the door comes off its hinges and is smashed to pieces, and they go in with a riot gear. That didn't used to be the case. But it's a move in a certain direction. It's a move in a direction where it is going to justify this kind of thuggery, which is a right-wing kind of thuggery. And what's it going to be against? Well, it's going to be against the religious side, Al-Qaeda. I mean, this one here. Because, again, one thing that this man was bringing out in this analysis of decline and fall is that these bureaucrats rise to this level, and the Bible calls them children. They rise up to this level, And the country, therefore, or the empire, therefore, gets to this state where eventually it starts to implode, and then barbarians take it over. Now, the barbarians we see today are Al-Qaeda. But they wouldn't be allowed to take it over, because, as we say, read in Revelation 13, we're looking at a backlash that occurs within Europe, orchestrated by religion, that allows this brief breathing space for 3.5 years, maximum, in fact it's probably about 2.5 years of the tribulation. And you're looking at that brief breathing space, but it looks, again reading in Daniel 11, as a reaction against something coming out of the Middle East. Because they're going to come down then and surround Jerusalem. It talks about Judah's wound, it talks about Ephraim's sickness. Something seems to come. It talks about the Palestinians, the Syrians, over in Isaiah 9. Sorry. And so we have this, we have another one. Iraqi gunmen shoot dead 5 teachers in a classroom. It's thuggery, it's barbarism. And that is coming in, and you see, you're looking at the Ostrogoths, you're looking at the Visigoths, the same kind of thing that has happened throughout history, at the decline and the fall of an empire. And you're looking at the Western Empire going down, and you're looking at this differentiation where the system is trying to be preserved, people are not mattering, and all of these things are falling into a prophetic picture. Again, we look beyond that prophetic picture, we look beyond to what God says is going to happen. He's got to collapse, he's got to go. The whole thing has got to go, and it's also got to get to this point where even the Babylonian system that's in that Holy Roman Empire is utterly destroyed. And you read in Daniel 7, and it talks there about how that is going to be utterly destroyed. But the other beast, the Medo-Persian, the Babylonian, the Greek, are going to continue for a short space. It gives a distinction between the two. But what we will see in Europe rise will be utterly, totally destroyed by Christ. He will completely wipe it out. There will be nothing left of it. So it's got to get to this point where it will be righteousness that takes place, and that will be done in righteousness. The problem is that we right now are watching the rise of it. And that's what we need to be aware of as we read these newspapers and we start seeing just what is taking place within the countries that we live in.